In a way, aren't we all Spartacus?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell on 95BFM.
And
hello. Good day. That's a piece of movie related gag. That intro there.
What's that sound? Why do I know that? Is that like VHX or
that's Dolby making sure everything's mint.
Yeah, hopefully it's slightly off brand.
5.1, but everyone else is probably getting it mono.
They're quite litigious, so let's see how that goes.
Ooh, shit.
Now, Steve, we are talking movies which terrify and scare you tonight.
Yeah, and hopefully other people as well. I mean, it won't be like a list of things like Brewster's Millions or...
Should we just put everybody at like a starting point and say what's our scariest movie that they've ever watched? Just real quick. I feel like that will let the listener know where we're coming from and what we expect.
Sure. I had a run of... I had a movie at home that I've been looking forward to watching, and I'd come home quite late and be like, oh, this is a great time to watch a horror now, like under, you know, in my cups to some extent,
yeah.
And maybe a little bit scared of being at home by myself.
Yeah.
And it took me about like half a dozen goes to get past the first 10 minutes of a film called Martyrs, and I was literally getting up to check if windows were shut.
Is this a tiny, sort of, tiny sort of little shit. Steve?
Or nah.
When did the movie come out?
I don't know. I think it's probably like late 2000s.
Okay, mine's a little bit more. Okay. Like one of my early. Are you going, John?
I can go. yep. I probably am. I don't know. Like the mid to late 90s. Got extremely baked and saw this. I don't even know if it's scary or if it's any good.
It might not have happened, mate. You've just discounted your whole recollection. Now we can't use this.
Is it The Stigmata?
Oh, what?
Yeah, there's a film called Stigmata.
Stigmata?
I think it's with Patricia Arquette and someone that has the stigmata.
That was quite scary at the time, and I would also point
Al Pacino in that? No.
Yeah, maybe.
Mine was It. I watched it too young, and it's that stuck around. But on John's point, I actually went and watched The Exorcist when they remade that, and I smoked a lot of weed. And I fell asleep at the beginning. They're in the desert. And I woke up and she was coming down the stairs upside down. And I was...
Wow.
It was not good.
That's good.
It was not good.
You're sort of missing a little bit of context there,
Oh,
eh?
Man. Oh, I mean,
the sort of context that can make you not get freaked out about down the stairs.
There's ways
to definitely.
Wake up. That was terrible.
Definitely. I reckon that sets the scene nicely.
Okay.
Maybe also let's go for a little bit of appropriate audio ambience for this this one. Eh? Let's
okay.
give this let's try this sucker.
Oh right. Got you.
I need to say I haven't frequented the horror genre in recent years.
Well,
maybe because I'm a bit too much of a scaredy cat.
That can happen. I mean. There's times when, you know, look, it's a fast-paced existence. There's a lot going on in the modern world. Do we really want our jangly nerves made janglier?
I'm drinking too much coffee. Do I need to not unwind but tighten up with a scary movie?
I reckon just full fucking anxiety, eh? Lean straight into a good horror.
Is it good for you? What's the science, eh?
Well, based on last night, I'm not sure. I think my adrenal glands worked a little bit, but... it's the night before last I went to see Hereditary, and it's been eagerly awaited. It's looked creepy as all hell. Don't watch the trailers though. It's generally a good rule for this one.
It's probably good for any all scary ones. Okay.
Just films, just films full stop probably.
Do they give way too much? Is that your opinion?
Maybe. Because I mean, I guess like the best looking parts of your film
you're
will be kind of scattered through your film, right? So you're going
to
inevitably have stuff in there that it's like, oh, you've seen that. Anyway, Hereditary filled me with dread. It just was uncomfortable kind of right from the beginning. There's a kind of score just bubbles away there,
John,
isn't it?
Stay with us, John.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
Describe the picture that I'm seeing? It's basically like a house that's illuminated. All the doors are open. It actually looks kind of like a pleasant evening at this Hereditary house.
Well, you'd be wrong because I don't think it is a house. I think you'll find if on closer inspection it might be a miniature house, and not just because it's not maximized on the screen, but the main character in Hereditary, played by Toni Collette, is an artist who makes little miniatures and including like things that are really close and personal to her, like her own house, like the hospice in which her recently deceased mother passed away in. And that's my little segue to the other sort of the thread of the plot of Hereditary, which is that her mum's passed away. As the film opens, you know, it's a family sort of getting to grips with the loss of someone they didn't really care about that much, the story kind of tells us, but still in a big house with the recent passing of a loved one, and there's a certain kind of like creepy stillness that goes along with that.
What's the advice? Maybe best to sell up and just get a smaller house, a tiny house.
Grandma, we need to get out of here.
It'll come as not much surprise that maybe some bad things do happen to the people in the house. So maybe if they just sold up in the first 5 minutes.
John's house. John, as he gets older, his houses are going to get smaller and smaller and smaller until he's just living in a portaloo. He just, he gets the delivery of those blue cakes every once in a while and just carries on.
Steve, carry on. I'm terrified already.
Powerful music.
Okay, so against the background of a recently deceased mother, some sort of strange things start happening. A bunch of people that none of the family have seen before turn up for her funeral, even though the mum was kind of private and didn't really have many friends. They're all taking a really pronounced interest in what's going on with the family, and are strangely kind of positive, given that their assumed friend, just carked it. So there's some sort of sort of Rosemary's Baby sort of overtones. Ooh. Of just like that, you know, the kind of creepy pantheon of strangers who are just a little bit too pleased about your torment. And as the film goes on, basically it's the grief motif is kind of the glue that holds the whole thing together. But it's got really other sort of a mix of really stylish, almost sort of art house horror feel to it, but then just really good scares and occasional moments of you didn't expect to see that coming grossness, which
I like the idea of an early death. And then, you know, kind of get that over and done with. People are going to die today in this movie or whatever. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Well, look, people...
But then you deal with that.
It's a bloody fact of life, isn't it?
It's true. It's true.
It does start with a somber tone, and it lets the film sit in what for Toni Collette is kind of a bit of a spiral as she kind of becomes more and more unhinged as strange things... How famous are these people?
Yeah, is it someone that's been in some other stuff?
Oh, in terms of the casting of this?
Yeah,
Toni Collette
is
I guess famous, probably. Probably famous.
Can I?
Oh, Muriel.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you
know what people don't yell out enough? Muriel.
I'm guessing there's no closure and there's a strange, ominous sense of foreboding at the end of this film.
Oh, God, that's a good word too. Good word.
It was a bit of a shaken audience, actually.
Don't say that; it's too scary.
Yeah.
That's an intimate thing to share with strangers. Age, you being petrified, you know.
Yeah, well,
it takes guts.
I was like, I was kind of a. There was times when I was sort of aware of how twitchy I was in my seat and stuff, and there was, I had a few sort of awkward laughs that are just really sort of about lifting the tension more than because something's hilariously funny. But then there was at one point where I did find myself going, oh fuck. So that was I think one of those in a film equates to like a good kind of 4 or 5 stars.
Oh, wow.
So Hereditary,
are there any scares like those sort of more kind of annoying early scares that's like the phone ringing or the cat coming through the cat door? I don't really like those kind of scares. I find them a little bit patronizing.
You prefer your heavy duty scares.
Build me up and then break me down. Don't just come in with a cat door or a phone call, like an old fashioned phone. Like everyone's got a bell in the phone now. You know what I mean?
I'm racking my brain to whether the phones in this film have bells in them or not. But be that as it may,
is there a word for that kind of scare? It's just like a cheap scare, like a cheap.
Let's just call. Lazy.
Yeah, it is.
Bit of a jump.
It can build tension, but sometimes they're a bit too much. I think.
No, everything in this film is kind of is there for a reason, you know, like. I found the score's really unsettling, not just because it's kind of bubbles away there, but there's parts of the film where I could actually barely hear that there was music coming off the screen, and it's just this low frequency rumble that was there just enough to fucking mess
That's
with you
good.
Without you really noticing it. And it was only when a scene would end sometimes and it would cut to a new location and the sound mix would change that I'd realise that there'd been a hum the whole time.
So watch it in a theatre is what you're saying. Your laptop's not going to cut the mustard.
No. I definitely see this one in the theatre because there's definitely moments in this film where you're going to love the fact that there's other people twitching in the cinema next to you. But look, this is very much in the tradition of art house sort of horror. Like, it's, you know, not a million miles away from things like The Witch or It Comes as Night. It Comes at Night. There's aspects of it actually that there's a few scenes in the film where these like those old acquaintances of the passed away mum sort of pop up in various locations.
Are they looking
and they'll
for
be
her
like
or?
Kind of in the background, like maybe like across a main road from one of the characters who sees them. And so they're kind of, it's quite a long shot, they're quite small on the screen, but you can see just enough detail to see they're smiling and waving from a few hundred feet away.
Sinister.
And stuff like that reminded me quite a lot of that technique being used in It Follows a couple of years ago, of just like being drawn to things that are quite far away in the frame, and that sort of sense of foreboding that creates as well. But yeah, go definitely go see this at a cinema and get creeped out with other people. Think Rosemary's Baby. Think they're billing it as like this generation's The Exorcist, which I think's probably coming on a little bit strong. But it's sort of hard to do an Exorcist again, eh? Like that. I think what fundamentally freaked people out about that movie so much is not just that it is fundamentally freaky, but it came at a time when, you know, making horror about the church and that was just devil's a bit more scary. But Johnny, does sounds to me like you don't need the devil to be any more scary.
No, I'm scared enough. I've got my scare right now. Hey, well, so thank you very much, Steve Newell. Head along and see.
You're welcome.
Hereditary.
And another plug for Upgrade, I reckon. I like, if you haven't seen Upgrade
now
yet,
it's out.
Go
now
see
it's
that.
Out. We
go
can actually that. Say everyone go catch a watch. It's worth it. Bloody good one. Actually, someone hit me up about that way, about Upgrade, for no reason the other day, and I was like, hey, yeah. Do you take the piss? Because I've talked about it a bit.
The power of
and it
promo.
It was genuine. It was genuine.
Promo. Just promo.
Real auteurs use Star Wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95 BFM.